Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Glenshaw Valley for our fourth Sunday in Advent. A couple announcements. There will be a Women's Association meeting after church. There is a quilt that was donated by Mrs. Mellinger in the hall, and we will be raffling that off during the Christmas dinner. Which reminds me, the annual Christmas party is today, and it'll be held right after the worship service. So please come enjoy ham and side dishes. And I do believe we are going to have a visit from the old Bishop, St. Nicholas. If you haven't picked up your 2012 envelopes, they're in the back table in the narthex. Artists will be on vacation this Wednesday, the 21st, but she will be in the office on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and her hours are from 9 a.m. to 1. If you have any church business and she's not in the office, feel free to call any session member. Are there any other announcements?
No.
As a mom, I'm happy he's home. Any other announcements? Please make sure you take your red pads and sign them for your attendance and put them on the end of the pew. And now, please welcome back our guest minister this morning, Pastor Jay McMillan and his wife, Becky.
Merry Christmas. Indeed. It's a wonderful season. It's only 1 week. 1 week. I can hardly wait. I'm a little kid. I love it. But we are here to praise God and to give Him thanks for the greatest gift ever given. A gift that wasn't under the tree or in a stocking, but a gift that was in the manger cradle in Bethlehem. We're here to worship and praise God for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. And He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant. As God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before Him all the days of our life. Let us serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness. Let us stand and sing together the hymn of praise, O Thou Joyful, O Thou Wonderful, 119. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are told that so long as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with our lips and turn from our sin, God will forgive us our iniquity. With God's own promise of an abundant mercy, let us draw nigh unto the throne of our Father's grace. In silence, let us confess our sin. Or in unison, let us confess our sin. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, I do not have peace. The Christmas rush is on. Too many things to do. Too many things pulling me this way and that. Forgive my empty rushing about. Intercede with the Father and send your Holy Spirit to slow me down that I may truly celebrate your birth. Forgive me so that I may teach others to take the slow, gentle journey to Bethlehem. There may we find eternal life as we kneel and adore you, our infant Savior and King. Amen. Let us continue to confess in silence. And all grace be given unto us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us speak aloud the words of our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Way, it could look like a shepherd's staff. like our Lord and Shepherd Jesus Christ, who leads us when we go astray, and we do go astray, don't we? So it's good to be reminded that we have our good Shepherd with us, not just at Christmas. And maybe, just maybe, the red that you very often see in a candy cane might very well represent the bloodshed of Jesus that was there as a gift, as the original gift from Jesus to give us eternal life and to remind us of his gift to us. Hey, good morning. You get one too. So when you see a candy cane, and when you see people being generous-hearted and lots of love this season, remember that if you look at it with your very special eyes, you just might see Jesus in just about everything around you. Okay? So take this with you and remember that. Okay? Merry Christmas.
Mary's people's virgin, Cover your face when you're riding in town. It also wouldn't hurt to bat your eyes a little bit either. Fortunately, Mary doesn't have a speaking part. Are the shepherds and the sheep ready?
I checked the city ordinance on that. They won't let us herd a flock of sheep down Main Street.
What will they let us use?
We can use cats as long as they're on leash.
Okay, well, get some cotton balls and staple it onto their fur or glue it or something. It'll work. Are my angels ready?
We've got them standing on top of the barn, but they're too scared to move.
Stable! Remember, it's a stable now. Well, as long as they say their lines, I don't care if they move. Less is more, I always say.
Where's the star?
I've got three reliable people working on it. We'll see it shining down from the mountain in no time. Don't worry, I know Peace personally, and she won't let us down.
Wimping out on us now.
But the clouds are coming. We've got to get back to the trees and get under some shadow before the lightning hits.
It's just a few thunder clouds. Besides, we only have 500 more feet to go.
Look, I can see the generator box from here.
Generator? As in electricity?
Sure. How did you think we were going to light up the star once we got it up here?
Guess I never thought about it. Isn't it exciting? All those million gigawatts flowing through that flimsy little line.
It and igniting the star to shine down upon the whole city.
Igniting.
It's really going to be something to see.
We better hurry before it starts to rain.
Oh my God, rain!
What's the matter, Peace?
Are you afraid of a little rain? It's not that. It's just, it's just there's no protection here. What if lightning strikes? We need to be under a tree or something.
Trees are the worst place to be in a lightning storm. That's usually the first place they hit.
All right, then what do? We're up here above the tree timberline. We're totally out in the open. I say we light the storm.
Me too.
Wait a minute. What if it doesn't light? What if we fail and our entire efforts here have been wasted? I don't think I can live with that kind of humiliation.
Peace, what's the matter with you? When I thought this whole entire project was too overwhelming to even start, you're the one that encouraged me to trust God and place my hope in Him. And now look at us. We made it.
And when I wasn't having any fun with this, you're the one who said that the true joy lies in our relationship with the Lord.
So why are we suddenly afraid?
They've got a point. What's wrong with me? Am I just paranoid? Why do I feel so exposed out here? Why am I afraid of failure? And why are all these people looking at me?
All right. That's the peace that passes all understanding. It's knowing you're never alone.
What do you mean?
You're overlooking the inner comfort of knowing that good things are bad, rain or shine, failure or success, God is always with us.
And you've forgotten God is in control of every situation.
Then, if we're not alone, God is in control. I don't have to worry about what others think. I don't have to be afraid of failure, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's light the star!
All right!
All right.
I'll plug in.
Hey.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
It'll be dark soon. It won't be long before the whole entire town will see it now.
We better think of how we're going to get down.
Perhaps we should build a shelter for the night? Whatever we do, we're not alone. Right, girls?
Right.
Hi, everyone.
Faith, how'd you get here?
I've always been here. Come on. I've got my car. I'll give you a ride down.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's go.
Car? You mean there's been a road up here all this time?
Come on.
Thank you.
Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, one and all. Responsive reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, reading number 634, the Messianic King. Let us read together from God's word. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea along the Jordan.
The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, there are quite a few names in the bulletin, and I was asked to add one this morning. Dagmar Kirkpatrick, prayers for her. Are there other prayers this morning that need to be added? Yes. Oof. Other prayers? I can't be a prophet, but my sister-in-law just went through that, what was it, 2 years ago, Becky? Three. And she's fine. She had really extensive surgery, but she's doing fine. So we'll pray the same for Linda. Other prayers? Yes? Okay. Other prayers? Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, we are caught up in a temporal place. We know the limits of space and time. We know the limits of weakness, illness, accident, and injury, the effects of disease and age. But you, our God, are eternal. You are almighty in power. And we trust you. You have given us the greatest of all gifts, your Son Jesus Christ, to die for us, to descend into hell, to rise again, and that he ascended into heaven, and he there rules and reigns over us and intercedes for us, and that he is coming again soon, we pray, to bring a new heaven and a new earth, and to add your blessing throughout all eternity to your chosen ones. With all these blessings, we know that we can trust you with our other requests, our needs, our holy wants and desires. And so we lift up family and friends, loved ones, who are in need of healing or who have need of other things in their lives. And we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon these, our loved ones. Heal them, renew them, strengthen them. Lord, be with Linda. Be with Diane and her husband. Be with those of us who have biopsies. Be with Dagmar and Josh and Jim. Be with Dan and Dawn. Be with Peggy and Ben, Leonard and Robin. Touch them, heal them, make them well. grant grace and healing. And Lord, some of us are grandparents and we love our children very much, but we can't get around like we used to, and maybe our health is failing. But even as we fail, let your faith shine within us and within our families and loved ones, so that we fail not in trusting you for this world and for the world yet to come. Lord, so many others are at home and needing touch of healing. We lift them up to you. Father, we need to visit and to make phone calls and to write notes to those who are shut-ins or those who are struggling alone. They need the family of Christ to gather around them. Stir us up to be with the folk who are kept at home, not of their own choice, but because of affliction and weakness. And Lord, we thank you that our soldiers are coming home, at least some of them. Soldiers and sailors, airmen and marines, Coast Guard and Merchant Marine. And Lord Jesus, you promised that you would intercede with the Father and send your Holy Spirit. We ask you now to do so, not just to bless Glenshaw Valley or the Presbyterian Church USA or any particular congregation or denomination, but that you would pour out your Spirit across the world to bring conviction of sin, to bring faith in Christ Jesus, to make you Lord of all, Jesus. Bring down Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and humanism and all the other isms of the world. And let your faith, Lord Jesus Christ, spread across the world. And let it begin here. Let it begin with us. But let it be your work and let it be your glory. And we pray for those who watch over us, whether they be in the military or in the police or in the government. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Keep them safe as they watch over us, but make them godly men and women, that they may lead us to be a nation under God, a nation under Christ Jesus. And Lord God, we all have sinned. We've all fallen short. But it seems there are certain sins, Lord, that have just become so popular that no one dare stand against them. But make your church strong, that in love we reach out to sinners. And yet in strength and in holiness we cannot bless or condone their sin. Let your church shine in the darkness. And Lord, for the children, let us be good stewards of them. Let us teach them the true meaning of Christmas and Easter, the true meaning of living for Jesus from the moment we awake to the moment we sleep. And may even our dreams be blessed by your Spirit. And Father God, there are so many needs. Some were spoken, some were not. But you hear them all, and you grant that grace. And now, Father, hear us as we pray together in the manner in which Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is 157, Away in a Manger. Sleep on the hay.
Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay.
Wise men came bearing gifts. Let us bear our gifts unto Christ in the morning offering.
Receive them and use them to bring others unto Christ, to build his kingdom in this world, and to proclaim your glory through it all creation, now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
There are four Gospels that witness God's birth, or Jesus' birth, and his life. Only two of them really detail his birth, Matthew and Luke. And only in Luke is there a description of the shepherds being visited. Now, Luke was a physician, and he wrote his gospel for the sophisticated. And it seems like an odd positioning of a very sophisticated man, a doctor,
writing about lowly shepherds. But there's one truth in the Bible, that God seems to favor shepherds, people who take care of others. For even in Genesis, Abel was a herdsman. Moses and David were herdsmen. And David himself, in his Psalm 23, called God a herdsman, a shepherd. And God himself declared that he was a shepherd in Ezekiel. So is there a special place in God's heart for those people who take care of and look out for and share the gospel with others? Listen to our scripture reading. If I can get the page. It's Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I was told that we were to try to be out of worship by 11:30. I'll do the best I can. But I don't believe in Reader's Digest sermons. You're probably looking at that sermon title, and if you were blessed as I was to have 2 years of high school Latin, you may be able to figure it out. Ad nauseam or ad gloria Dei. Well, if you take the M off of there, we see nausea, right? So to sickness, to upchucking, and all those things, or to gloria, to the glory, and Dei is the possessive of Deo. In other words, to the glory of God is what this is. And we sometimes sing Gloria in Excelsis, and it should be a hard C, not Excelsis, but Excelsis. Sorry, choir. Anyway, but, it's God's glory in the highest, the utmost, the highest. However, Christmas gets to be a rush, doesn't it? And I found a little book, and it has some wonderful little poems, kind of tongue-in-cheek. And this is called Post Haste. "I'm shipping my presents by Super Express. They should be delivered in 2 days or less. It's not that I dawdled, I want you to know. I got in this line over 3 weeks ago." Sound familiar? How about MAME that tune? "There's a song that they never stop playing, a side split and knee slapping zinger about a reindeer that ran over Grandma. I wish he'd aim for the singer." There, come on, it's there. And this one's shopping. I think they wrote this for my wife Becky and for me. Shopping. For Christmas this year, I went shopping online. The presents were perfect. The prices were fine. In fact, my delight with the gifts that I bought may almost make up for the virus I caught. I don't think they're talking about the flu. And then the last one, it's entitled Ad Nauseam. Christmas ads on my TV set. They're coming fast and furious, and they're not stopping yet. My brain is overloaded and my patience sorely taxed. Those ad guys won't be happy till my credit cards are maxed. You get the image. There are people, you know, Christmas becomes a trial. It becomes something that makes us sick. How do we avoid that? How do we avoid the ad nauseum? And how do we rejoice and celebrate? And I'm so glad to see other people like Red in the congregation here. You know, Red's one of the seasons of Christmas, not just for old St. Nicholas, but just for joy. And, you know, and you know, what's the one bird that stands out against the snow more than any other? The cardinal, right? Against the beautiful white snow, the red cardinal. But how do we keep that joy? How do we keep the presence of Christ, the presence of God Almighty, when we've got to go to 20 different parties, bake 15 different baked goods for different sales and to take to those parties, and we've got blended families now where we have 8 grandparents and the kids have to go to all the grandparents' houses, right? And we all would love a white Christmas, but the roads have to be clear, don't they? Right? In the story of the Nativity, the story of the angels and the shepherds, we learn how to avoid ad nauseam, the illness of Christmas, and find our peace, our hope, our joy. We read from Isaiah and gave all the wonderful titles of Christ from the Old Testament, and that last one was Prince of Peace. And this morning, let's think about peace, not that's been bought with a gun or a bomber or whatever, although we need to support our troops, and as long as we live in a fallen world, we're going to need the military because they're going to be evil people, and they need stop. But how do we find the peace within ourselves? When we're baking that special dessert everybody loves, and instead of rising up nice and beautiful, it caves in. Or we spent 3 weeks making a beautiful item of clothing for a loved one, and they try it on, and it's 2 sizes too small. Or how do we handle the sorrow when a loved one calls and gives us bad news, whatever it is. Or the doctor gives us bad news at Christmas. Listen just to these 2 verses. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Both the angels and the shepherds glorified God. And that doesn't mean that they got up and down, jumped and shouted and danced all around, that they ran up to people and grabbed them by their coat lapels and said, "Are you saved?" But they had heard joyous things. They knew joyous things. And someone might say, "Well, okay, you know, you're a preacher. You're paid to say these things." Well, yes, preachers are by scriptural command, supported by the congregation. And you might look at us like the angels. What else can we do? Angels give glory to God. Preachers give glory to God. But the thing is, the angels and the preachers are kind of like the pep team, the cheerleaders, or the prompter in that little booth at the foot of the stage to help the players remember their lines. But I got news for you. I'm no angel. I keep telling Becky there's something that holds my halo up. But anyway. But no, I'm one of the shepherds. I've taken care of sheep and horses and goats and cats and dogs and heaven knows what else, all sorts of critters. A little bit like the Old Testament prophet. He said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. In other words, I'm not a seminary student. But I'm a pruner of sycamore fig trees and I follow the flocks. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about the shepherds, not in our usual Christmas venue of gathered around the manger. The shepherds were needed for the temple worship in Jerusalem. But did you know that unless they went through a month-long purification, they could not themselves enter the temple? Shepherds were unclean. Huh? The sheep can go in. The shepherds were busy with the job of birthing the lambs, of tending the wounded sheep, of healing the diseased ones, and in doing that, they got blood on them. And that made you unclean by Jewish law to have blood on you. Now, true, the priest could spill it in the temple as an offering. But for the common rank and file people, being involved with birth and disease and illness and death and blood made you unclean. So here are these shepherds, dutifully bringing the best of their flocks to the sheep gate near the pool of Bethsaida, where the blind man was, or the palsied man was healed by Christ, and where the blind man was told to go and wash. But they can't go into the temple unless they take a month's vacation. And who's going to watch the sheep during that month? The sheep were their investment, their stock portfolio, their bank, as you will. And these angels come, and heaven's filled with the angels praising God and giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom God is well pleased. So what do these shepherds do? They say, oh, tell you what, half of us are going to stay here and watch the sheep, and the other half are going to go see what went on. They left behind their stock portfolio, their bank investments, and they went straight away to Bethlehem. And they found joy, and they found peace, and they found the glory of God, and they went back telling everyone what they had seen. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. What would happen to our world if every one of us here this morning, young and old, rich and poor, wise and not so wise, were to say, you know, we've seen Christ. We have Christ within us, and we're going to go out and tell all the wonderful things he's done for us. People are going to be amazed. And if you do that this week and the next week and the following, you'll have to add on to the building. Are we glorifying God, or are we running around like a chicken with its head cut off? Or like Chicken Little saying, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the cake fell. The present didn't come in. It's backordered. It'll be here in 6 weeks. Are we going to run around in that mess? Or are we going to seek the glory of God, ad gloria Dei? Are we going to go to sickness, ad nauseam? Or are we going to the glory of God? Brothers and sisters, it's going to make a big difference in your Christmas, in mine, and all of our Christmas. Let's give up the Christmas rush. Let's go tell the world what we've received. The only blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ, born a babe in Bethlehem, crucified a king on a hill outside of Jerusalem, resurrected, ascended, and I pray indeed soon he's coming again. Let's go tell the world about that. Let's tell the world about the glory of God, and let's forget about the other things. And then we'll have peace this Christmas and every day that we live. Let us pray. Lord God, we're like children who get lost in the lights and the excitement. And maybe we let go of Mom and Dad's hand. Let us hold tight to you, Father God. Let us hold tight to the church, our mother. And walk us through this holy season. Slow us down. Take away the distractions. Let us see your glory in this babe born in a manger at Bethlehem. And then let us be filled with wonder and let us glorify you as we should, for that is our chief end, our prime directive, is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Let us do that this Christmas and every day, every moment that our heart beats, with every thought of our mind, with every devotion of our soul. Let us live in your glory, Lord God. And in doing so, we will find our peace. We praise you and we thank you now in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of response is a Nativity Prayer, 126. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us complete in every good work to do his will, working in us what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom with the Father and the Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us go in the peace of Christ.